So, welcome to The Mission with your guy, Mailman, on the Drop 104.7, the People Station for R&B and Hip Hop. I have a very, very special guest in the studio with me today. I'm honored to be sitting across from this man. I'm even more honored to call this man my friend. This guy is the man with the plan, literally. I'm sitting here with the mayor of Denver, Colorado, Mayor Mike Johnston. What's up, man?
Thanks for having me, man. It's an honor to be here with you.
Thank you
so
for coming.
Excited.
This is dope, man. Like, we really appreciate you visiting the Drop. So, like, the first question, let's just get into it. First question I have for you is, how are you? You know what I mean? Mentally, emotionally, physically, how are you, Mayor Johnston?
I appreciate that. I am good. There are certainly long days and easier days. I think that I love that I can see my family every night when I get home and take my kids to, you know, I do the morning wake up and do school routines are still the same. And so it's nice to have some normalcy still in your life. And so there are days that are stressful, but tonight we're going to go out and do something with the family together. And like those fun things, look forward to the end of the day, are always there.
That Valentine's Day hot date, huh?
Valentine's Day, yeah. One thing I will tell you preparing for fatherhood is Valentine's hot date now often includes three children.
Oh, so man.
A little different sometimes than the old version of the hot date, but we are doing it.
No, that's what's up. So what inspired you or prepared you to say, you know what, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be the mayor of Denver. I'm the guy for the job.
You know, I think it was really when you and I first met, and I was working at Gary then,
yes.
And we were working really hard on both affordable housing and homelessness, two things we thought were some of the biggest problems in the city. And the more and more I worked on those issues, the more I thought, well, you know, these problems are actually solvable. Like, there is a path to figure this out, to make a big impact, but you're going to need the right leader who has both the courage to take it on and the tenacity to stay at it when it gets hard. And I felt like this was the right moment where the city wanted a leader who was kind of an entrepreneur, who was willing to try some new things, build broad coalitions, and just be relentless about trying to deliver results. And I felt like this was that moment. And so I went all in, not knowing if it would work out or not, but I feel like the city in this moment said, yeah, that is the kind of change we're looking for. And so I feel really honored to do the job and love the people I work with every day and feel excited about the momentum we're building for the fact that these problems are solvable and we're the ones to solve them.
Yes, I agree. And I completely I appreciate you. Congratulations on your
Thank
run.
You.
You know what I mean? We congratulate you here at the Drop. Tell us a little bit about like a typical day for you, for people that may not know what it's like to be a mayor. You know, like what is a typical day for you?
It's funny, there are not always that many typical days because there are things always vary a bit, but I think it will include some combination of, you know, I'm still the CEO of a 13,000 person organization. We got 13,000 employees, and so a lot of it is directly supporting and managing those teams. It's meeting with my direct reports, with the chief operating officer from the city, with our chief financial officer, with my chief staff. It's managing teams. We put together what we call Tiger Teams, which are cabinet heads from five or six different agencies who all supervise trying to solve one hard problem together. So you take something like youth violence.
Okay.
You're not going to solve that with just the Office of Children's Affairs or just the Department of Safety or just the Department of Human Services. Those folks all got to work together to say, what are we doing for kids comprehensively around the city and full intervention? So I run a lot of those teams specifically focused on our hardest topics. Then I'll do a lot of, you know, public events. It's showing up to community events that are important, listening to residents, getting their feedback, trying to recognize and celebrate great things that are happening around the community. So it's a combination of really celebrating the places where the city's doing an amazing job and trying to work hard on improving the places where we can do better.
Yeah, I see you out here shaking hands and kissing babies. We love it. We definitely love it. So I'm interested to know this because I'm going to have to add it to my collection. Personally, on your leisure time, like, what are you reading? Like, what are some of your favorite books that you're reading?
No, it's a great question. I just finished two Colson Whitehead books, which I loved. I did both Underground Railroad and Nickel Boys, and for his two, as you know, only two American authors who have won, you know, two Pulitzer Prizes, and we're sort of living in a moment of his greatness. So he won two in 3 years apart, so amazing American author. And then I'm reading right now a book called Stella Maris, which is by Cormac McCarthy, who is an old Western writer I loved. He wrote The Road. He wrote All the Pretty Horses, No Country for Old Men. He just died, and this was his last book, so sort of it's kind of his closing argument. So those are some of the things I'm reading right now, but I try to still read fiction at night before I go to bed as a way to step out of the chaos of the day, and then I get up early in the morning and we'll read nonfiction, whether it's work-related stuff or newspapers or articles or other things. So I try to keep some balance of both,
because I find
reading keeps me a little sane.
That's what's up. So here at The Drop, we're an urban alternative. That's our format. And, you know, without getting into the whole college of what it is, it's basically, you know, commercial-free hip-hop and R&B. We serve the community. We play Colorado independent artists. You know, we think that's important to give them a voice and a place to, you know, show their talent. I'm interested to know, what are some of the hip-hop artists you're listening to, and what are some of your favorite hip-hop songs?
That's a good one. So my son is actually one of my great guides now on hip-hop, because he is a big hip-hop fan.
Nice.
So I usually keep up with him. So doing some, you know, right now I've been doing both a little bit of To Pimp a Butterfly.
And okay,
so
Kendrick!
Yeah, he's a big Kendrick Lamar fan, so he's schooling me on some Kendrick Lamar.
Nice.
I'm still a Drake fan, as is he.
Thank
so
you.
We're
Thank
still
you.
Waiting for the third return of the concert he's hopefully doing in Denver.
I'm saying,
so,
right?
yeah. On the hard days, I always channel the, I'm not saying I'm the best at what I do, I'm just saying it's me versus whoever wants to lose.
Ooh. Come on, Mike Johnson, come on. See, shout out to Drake, man. You got to be here. April 15th, that's what he said he was going to do. What role do you think hip-hop plays in politics?
You know, I think it is a great way to elevate the voice of people who sometimes feel unheard, hear the mm-hmm. things people are frustrated about that they want to see fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to, I think, inspire people to do
right.
things that they weren't sure they could do before. You know, I think it helps engage people in believing in their community, believing in service, being called to action. So I see a great overlap between hip-hop and civic activism.
Yes.
And I find a lot of those people are telling us important things we should be listening to. And
Facts.
So for me, that's true both for local leaders, it's true for national ones, but I always find I learn more the more I listen, and so that's a good help for me.
That's dope. What do you think the public media, what role does public media play in the political sphere?
I think it's getting more and more important every year, particularly as we have more and more media sources that, for better or for worse, are owned by people with political ideologies. I think it becomes harder to find really objective perspectives on hard issues. I think public media does that. And also because if you can buy a bigger platform, you can get more access. To be able to give regular people access to the platform of media is more and more important, and that's what public media does. You know,
yeah.
Even the stuff you all do here in the building, where folks can come in and prepare and present their own media, their own podcast, be able to get them onto PBS, like that is really democratizing access
good.
To the media. I'm spilling things.
You're
over
okay.
It's a real
it's
party
cool.
now. So I think that role is even more important than ever.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a little bit of the accomplishments that you've made. Let's talk about Housing 1000. Can you elaborate on that, and what were you know, trying to accomplish? What have you accomplished in that
yeah.
in that initiative?
I mean, for us, this was critical, because when you looked at one of the biggest problems the city faced, everybody would say that the biggest challenge was homelessness. You know, we'd seen that number of people expand by 300%
mm-hmm.
over the last 3 years before I got elected. More and more people that were dying outside in the streets.
Right,
more
right.
and more people who had businesses that were having to shutter because they couldn't keep them open because there were encampments all around their building. I mean, even your post office 3 blocks from here
right
was
across,
about to
yeah.
be closed to public access in
right.
the fall because there was encampments ringing the whole place. And so we knew it wasn't fair for folks that are unhoused. It wasn't fair for neighbors who wanted to be able to activate their streets and public parks again. And so we set this really ambitious goal to say, can we be the first city to try to, in just 6 months, get 1,000 people off of the streets and into transitional housing. And in that transitional housing, offer all the wraparound services people need. So we got workforce training, you got mental health support, you got addiction treatment, you got housing navigation, and it's all right there on site.
Nice.
And so we opened these 6 different sites around the city. We were able to, by New Year's Eve, move 1,135 people off the streets and into housing, into the services they needed. And critically, we were also able to close all those encampments where folks were living before and keep them closed. So when you and I
yeah.
were talking today, right here in downtown, there are no tents anywhere in downtown
Thanks.
Denver for the first time in, I don't know, 20 years.
Yeah, we commend you for that. Like, we appreciate your work with that. And, you know, a big topic right now is, like, immigration.
Yes.
And I know you have some great visions for our newcomers and improving their quality of life.
Yeah.
So could you, you know, speak to that?
Yeah, you bet. And that is, I mean, we are proud of the fact that Denver has welcomed more than 40,000 migrants in the last year. We're the largest welcoming city of any in America per capita. And we have successfully gotten them integrated into jobs and into homes and into the community in effective ways. The challenge is, you know, we are now, as we move farther and farther into this crisis, we now have no federal support in terms of resources.
Right, right.
And we don't have work authorization anymore. In the first, you know, part of the summer and fall, folks that arrive could get access to a work permit. Now they can't any longer. That program has expired. And there was a bill in the U.S. Congress that would have helped solve this problem, would have given folks the ability to work, would have provided resources for cities like ours, and it
right.
had bipartisan support. I mean, it had Republicans and Democrats on it together.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Trump came in and really pushed for the bill to die, because I think he said this, he wanted to keep the crisis moving so he could campaign against the crisis mm-hmm. rather than actually solve the crisis. So we know that puts the city in a much tougher spot. Now right. we got to foot the bill for this because there's no federal support coming. And so we got to find a way to manage shared sacrifice here. We got to make sure we can both make some cuts to city services that we want to work hard to make sure they don't impact residents, particularly those that are most at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to make adjustments and reductions to the kind of services we can provide to the newcomers that do arrive. And so that's a tough spot to be, but without yeah. federal support, we got to find a way forward that's sustainable for the city, and we think this will help us do that.
Okay. So my last question for you is, actually I have two, but where are some areas of growth or opportunities for growth for Denver, Colorado, in your vision?
Oh, I think the biggest one is affordability. I think the problem that this city faces right now is you've got teachers, you've got nurses, you've got firefighters, you've got servers in restaurants downtown tonight
right.
who cannot afford to live in this city right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're paying 40, 50, 60% of what they make in rent every mm-hmm. month, and you cannot pay your bills if you're paying that much to rent.
Right.
And so we got to make this city more affordable for the people that are working here. And so for us, that's about building more and more units that are permanently affordable. So a unit that you never have to pay more than 30% of what you make. So the way I do this math is if you're making $40,000 a year, you're a teacher or you're a server, you would never pay more than $1,000 a month in rent. And your rent doesn't go up unless your income goes up.
Oh,
so we want to build 3,000 of these units every single year that
nice.
Can help make that possible, because we want to make this the city that's both dynamic, best place to
yeah,
live. You're
going
to make it the best art scene, the best, you know, financial scene, great place to start a business, grow a family, and also the one thriving world-class city where you can still afford to live if you make $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's the city we want to be, and that's what we got to do over these next few years.
That's a beautiful vision. Last question. Hot seat question. Here it goes.
Yes.
Give me your favorite top five rappers. If you can't think of five, give me three.
Mm.
Favorite top three rappers of all time.
Well, I'm still going to stay with Drake. I'm still going to stay with.
Thank you.
I'm still going to stay with Kendrick Lamar. I still got to go to some old school. I'm still an old school Run DMC. I mean,
I
got to go back to the day.
Drake, Kendrick, Run DMC.
Those were all solid.
Very solid.
Other ones that I still like. I mean, I liked NWA back in the day. NWA is still
an
oldie but a goodie.
It's my dog.
I'd stick with them. Who else would I put on my top list?
Ooh, that's that. The fifth one's always the hardest.
I'm going to come back to modern day. I'll get in some trouble on content, but Lil Baby I like too.
Lil Baby.
I still support him. I think he's good. He's got
bigger
good music.
Picture.
Enjoy it. Bigger picture. So he would be a distant fifth from the top four, but he's still in the top five.
No, that is a solid top five. Denver, this is your mayor. I love this man. Mayor Mike Johnston, thank you so much for coming and hanging out, kicking it with us on the Drop 104.7.
Great to be here.
We really appreciate you.
I want to throw Ludacris back in. How did I leave
okay,
Ludacris
no, that,
out?
Okay, no, that works.
Yeah, yeah.
You can bring Ludacris. He's coming out
too
here, too. Yeah,
is he? All right, we got to go to that one.
We got to go. Let's do it. Thank you, Mayor
awesome.
Mike Johnston.
Thanks, man.